It's working? Yeah, cool. Good morning, everybody. It's 8:30 in the morning. I'm sorry for you. Can you imagine a best way to start your day than learning how to query with DAX? Before I start, a few questions. We are a small number. How many of you already use DAX? How many of you already use DAX to run queries? Few. Okay. So, that's a good session for you today. Who am I? I'm Alberto Ferrari, coming from Italy. I'm a founder with Marco Russo of SQLBI.com. There, we publish all the stuff we write about analysis services, problem solvings, complex data models. Then I write books. I'm an MVP, SaaS maestro, MCP, writer, a lot of different things. Basically, I'm fond of Microsoft BI technology. So I love to speak about Microsoft BI technology. And in the last few years, I specialized just on the tabular analysis services. Today, we are going to speak about using DAX as a query language. Most of you already use DAX, so you know how to read DAX expressions, DAX expression. What is important, and it will become more important over time, is that DAX can be used not only as a programming language, but also as a query language. So during the beginning of the session, let's say the first 15, 20 minutes, I will introduce you to DAX as a query language. So we will start writing queries and learn how to write, how to understand a DAX query. Then the most interesting and fun part will start. We will try to understand how to optimize DAX. Optimizing DAX is not an easy task. It's much harder than optimizing SQL. It is not as hard as optimizing MDX. Oh, by the way, how many of you know MDX? Most of you. How many of you love MDX? One and half. Let's say one and a half is more than enough. There's always only one guy on all of my sessions that says, I love MDX. So you know that optimizing MDX is nearly impossible, or it's a black art that you learn by voice or by reading Chris Webb blog. Optimizing DAX is feasible. You can optimize DAX. It's not easy. It's pretty hard. It's pretty complex. But we will try to understand at least the basics of the steps needed to optimize a DAX query. So this session starts as a 200-level session, and then we jump to a 400-level session, and we start diving into the internals of the DAX engine. Let's start learning how to query, how to use query as a how to use DAX as a query language. One, the interesting thing about using DAX as a query language is that you need to learn only one statement, which is evaluate. You learn evaluate, and once you know it, you can do any kind of queries, because evaluate followed by any table expression. So any expression written in DAX that returns a table is a good DAX query. So basically, you already know how to write DAX, how to write queries in DAX, if you know how to write expressions that return table. On the screen, you can see, do I have that? Yes. You can see a simple example where I use evaluate, and then the simplest table expression you can imagine is just a table. If you query a table, you get a table as a result. So evaluate sales territory will return you all the rows in the sales territory table. Then evaluate has an optional clause, which is order by. As you can imagine, it returns data sorted by the keys you provide in a list. And then it has a paging option, so you can ask it to start returning results from a specific row. The values you provide in the start up part need to follow the same ordering, of course, of the values you provide in the order by. That said, I'm not going to show you DAX as a query language using slides, just because it's boring. I prefer to move to SQL Server Management Studio, start running queries, we write queries together, and then we learn it by example by looking at the different results. One thing that you might already know, or maybe not, is that if you want to run a query in DAX, you can use SQL Server Management Studio. But what you need to do is open an MDX query. So you go to Object Explorer, then right-click, new query, MDX, and then you full Management Studio. Instead of writing MDX, you write simple DAX. So if you write evaluate products on AdventureWorks, you get as a result the product. Evaluate is the statement in DAX. I'm writing DAX code even if I was supposed to do that. I was supposed to write MDX. You don't have IntelliSense, you don't have any help, you don't have code formatting, you don't have anything from a good user point of view, but at least you can test your queries. So let's take a look at a few queries. The first one is simple, evaluate sales territory. This returns all the sales territories which are in my data model. The result is a table, and you can see that here. There's nothing interesting, nothing strange to learn here. This returns the full table of sales territory. Then you can ask to sort data. You can see that I evaluate sales territory, and then I order by group, country, and region, and you always have the option of ascending or descending sorting. Keep in mind that if you don't specify an order by, the data, the resulting data, is not sorted. You cannot expect any kind of sorting, as it happens in SQL and in any other programming language. In MDX, sorting is part of the data model. In DAX, sorting is not part of the data model. You need to be explicit in order to get a good result. You see that the first row here is France, Europe. If I run the same query, which is evaluate sales territory, same order, but then I ask to start at North America, the first row will be in North America, using sales territory group, which is the first field in my order by clause. Start at may be useful if you run queries from a web page, for example, when you want to show data, paging the data in different pages, you can use start at to avoid retrieving all the times a set of data which is not useful. The interesting part of using DAX as a query language, of course, is not the evaluate statement, but the fact that you can write any table expression. The first table expression that you probably learned while learning DAX was filter. Filter is an iterator that iterates over a table and returns only rows satisfying a specific condition. But the result is a table. So you can run a query like this one, evaluate filter of filter. So I have a double filter. I filter internet sales, grabbing only the rows where ship date is less than due date. And then the resulting table is further filtered by checking the rows where internet sales unit price is greater than 2. Of course, this is a very stupid query because I'm doing two iterations on the same table where I could have done that with an AND, but that's just for demo purposes. You can write much more complex queries. And the result being a table is, of course, the set of all the rows that satisfy both conditions, ship date less than due date and unit price greater than 2. And you can see that all the columns are present. So I have all the columns of internet sales. There is no automatic projection. I have all the rows as a result. Filter is the first, it's typically the first table expression that people learn while starting to learn DAX, to learning, yes, the DAX language. There is another function which returns a table and provides filtering, which is calculate table. I hope you are familiar with calculate. Calculate applies a new filter context to the data model and then queries. Calculate returns a scalar value, that is a number, a string, but at the end a scalar value. Calculate table has the same behavior, but it returns a full table. And so you can evaluate calculate table of sales territory where country equal United States. And if you run, you get only the sales territory which are in United States. Where sales territory? Okay. You see that here we have only United States. Of course, you can nest calculate table too. you can run calculate table of calculate table, and then do all sales territory. Okay, quick question for you. What will be the result? Only United States or all sales territories? All sales territory. Who says all? Who says only United States? Most of you says only United States. A few blank questions, blank answers. That's perfectly normal because that means you are still reading DAX as if it was SQL. In our brain, we expect the workloads to be at the end. DAX is slightly different than SQL, or it's completely different than SQL. If you run it, the final result will not be only United States, but all countries. And the reason for this is that evaluate first evaluates the filters and then evaluates the expression. So the first expression evaluated is this condition. It filters the United States and then evaluates calculate table, the inner calculate table. The inner calculate table will remove the filter previously put by the outer calculate table, and the final result is all sales territory. It's absolutely normal. Everybody, but a few people, normally answers, I will get only United States, because you look at the end and you expect it to be the filter, which is not the case in DAX. Filter and calculate table are useful functions, and you are probably used to use them in a lot of expressions or in measures or in calculated columns and so on. There are then a set of functions in DAX which are designed to be used in queries. So calculate, calculate table, and filter are normally used in DAX programming, while another set of functions is mainly used in queries. That doesn't mean you cannot use them to create calculated columns and measures, but you will mainly use them to create queries. The first example is add columns. Add columns is an iterator, so it scans a table, creates a row context, and iterates over all the rows of the first parameter, and computes an expression and adds the result as an additional column to the table. Finally, it returns the full table plus the additional columns. So in this example, I have add columns. Let's try it again. My mouse hates me today. Let's try it this way, okay? I scan the internet sales table, and then I add a new column, margin percentage, which is the result of divide sales amount minus total product cost divided by total product cost. If I run the query, I get as a result the full table, and at the end, I have, you see, my margin percentage column, which is the new calculated column. It is very similar to creating a temporary calculated column that exists only for the lifetime of the query. But during the lifetime of the query, it is a column as any other column. So, for example, you can add a filter here. And at the end of all this expression, you check if margin percentage is greater than, let's say, 1.5. You see that the column is created in this place, and then it's used here, as if it was a column belonging to the model. That is perfectly legal in DAX. And you can run the query, and the final result that you get is that rows which are less than 1.5 are gone. Okay? So you can create columns during a query, and as long as you are in the context of the query, those columns will exist and you can use them to do any kind of calculation. Filter is an iterator. Iterators are not bad, but are dangerous. You know that whenever you use an iterator, you are in danger of having a bad performance. There is another, and most important, as of now, you have seen that add columns, filter, all these functions always return the full table. In DAX, there is no projection statement, so you cannot use a select. You cannot grab only a few columns from a table. Either you get the full table or you get something different. You cannot ask to get only the color and the name from the product. There is a function that looks similar to projection, while it is not really a projection, which is summarize. Summarize does something similar to projection, but in reality what it does is grouping by. So it scans a table and then does a grouping by the columns you provide. As usual, an example is much simpler to read. You can evaluate summarize internet sales and then you specify order date. That means scan the internet sales table, group it by order date, and then add a new column to the result set, which is sum of internet sales amount. Summarize is not an iterator, so the expression which you specify for the new calculated column is not computed in a row context. Instead, it is computed in a filter context. And so that sum of internet sales amount will be only the sales for that specific date. If you run the query, you get as a result, let me zoom in, the date and the sales amount for that date. Of course, for all the dates which are in the model. You can not only use columns of internet sales, you can also use product color. If there is a relationship, a good many-to-one relationship between the original table and the resulting table, grouping by will work. And so I can run this query, and I get the sales divided by color. Finally, you can use as many columns as you want. So you can write, for example, customer gender, and this will group by color and gender in the same query. If you run it, you see that you have black for male, black for female, and then the amount for the different selections. Last option you have with summarize is using the rollup feature. If you add the rollup to your query, that means you are interested also in subtotals. So you don't want only the rows, but you also want the subtotals. If you compute this query, the result, now I need a bit more space. If only my mouse let me do that. Great. You see that we have rows where I have the color and the customer. Then I have rows where I have only the colors, and finally I have a blank row. The rows with the color and without customer are the subtotal at the color level, and the row with blanks in color and customer is the grand total. This might be useful if you are using reporting services and you want to get, for example, in a single query, all the rows plus the totals and the subtotals to grab all the information and show a report to your user. There are a few functions that I want to show you. One is cross-join. As you might expect, cross-join does the cross-join of two tables. In this example, I use values of color, values of size. Values of color returns all the values of the color column. Values of size returns all the values of the size column. And I add, as a result, I do an add column to this cross-join, which is the count rows of related table product. Any idea what this query will return? Who says no? I've seen a face saying no, I have no idea. This, of course, will return the cross-join of products, so all the products, all the colors cross-join together, and for each one, the number of products, so the number of products with that color and that specific size. It is important to note that in this query there are non-existing combinations, because creating the cross-join creates also combinations which do not exist. For example, you can see that white without size does not exist. Or, for example, silver and black in the size of 58 is a combination that doesn't exist because I don't have any products. So I don't get only the existing products, but only the ones for which I don't see only the existing product, but all the possible combination of products and color. Another thing which is very important, and at the beginning you normally miss it when you start learning DAX, is that you see that I'm using the related table function here. Now, related table returns the set of rows in a table which have a relationship with the current row in the current row context. What is strange is that I take a cross join of two tables, and I still have a relationship starting from this cross join and reaching the product. Now, if you're used to SQL, for example, you know that you can run a subquery, you can run a query, and the result is a table. But with that said, that result has no relationship with anything else in the data model. It's just a temporary table that you scan and you use to compute any kind of numbers. In DAX, this is slightly different. The result of any table function is a table, but if the columns that belong to the resulting table have relationship inside the data model, those relationships are kept alive and you can use them to further process your model. So this is the reason why I do a cross join of color and size, and I'm still able to do a count rows on a related table following a relationship which is stored in the data model. This is very powerful, and at the beginning you are not used to this feature, so you probably will not use it. But as soon as you learn and understand how it works, then it becomes very, very interesting. With that said, cross join, of course, returns all the cross join without doing any filtering. If you want to get only the existing combination, you can simply filter this result. And you add another query, which is another clause, which is not is blank products. And again, you see I'm using the products column, which is defined here. So it's defined here, I'm using it there to remove from the result set the rows that do not contain any product. And if I scan it, if I execute it, I get as the result only existing combination. The other ones are gone. Of course, I have also the option of doing a summarize of these. I can do a summarize of products. And then I group by color and size. Okay, let me correct a few. And then I add a row, which is products, that computes count rows. I no longer need to use a related table. I can simply use count rows product because now I am in a filter context. And this query should return if I only put the comma, which is missing. This query should return, okay, only existing combination. You see that the product color is always full with data. The reason is that summarize scans the product table and then does a group by, so the resulting color and size are only the existing combination. Non-existing combination are not part of the data model. With that said, there is a big difference in performance between using summarize and add columns, and we are going to learn it in a few minutes. I just want to show you a few other features, then I go to the slides, do a recap, and then we move further with optimizations. You can define measures in the query, so you can use the define keyword, and you can define, for example, subcategories count, which is the count rows of related table subcategory, and products count, which is count rows of related table product. These are measures which are defined in the query and exist only for the lifetime of the query. With that said, you can, of course, use these measures inside your query. If you run it, you get as the result categories, subcategories, and the number of products and number of subcategories. The important information here is not that you can define queries, you can define measures, that is easy. But if you are used to MDX, you probably know that defining calculated members local to the query is one of your best options to kill performance of the query because it does not use the cache in the proper way, and so the performance of your resulting query is a nightmare. In DAX, this no longer happens. In DAX, you can define the queries either in the model or in you can define measures either in the model or in the query, and the speed is the very same. There is no difference at all. And I normally find this very useful when I develop new measures, new complex measures, when the code starts to be complex, since you know that using the text editor, the text box, which is available in Visual Studio to define measure is a nightmare. I normally prefer to author all my measures in SQL Server Management Studio by writing queries, writing the code in a real text editor, and when the measure is final, it works, I simply copy from Management Studio, pass it in Visual Studio, and store it inside the model. There is another function, last one I want to show you, which is generate. Generate is, if you are familiar with generate in MDX, it's the same generate. If you are familiar with outer apply in SQL, then it does the same operation as outer apply. Unfortunately, I normally don't find many people who are either familiar with generate in MDX or outer apply because they are not very useful functions in both languages. In DAX, generate is very useful. Generate is an iterator, so it iterates over the first parameter you provide, which need to be a table. And then for each row of the first table, it evaluates the second parameter, which need to be a table expression, and finally it merges the two results in a single query. It's easier, as usual, to look at the final result. If you run this query, it will scan the category names, and for each category name, it will run a calculate table of the values of subcategory name. Since I have calculate, there is a context transition that moves the row context into a filter context. That calculate table will return only the subcategories of the specific category I am iterating. And the final result should be all the categories and for each category, all of its subcategories. Okay? It normally takes a bit of time to start learning how generate works. But the good information is that generate is very fast. It works really well. Okay, I still have some time. I want to show you now, after I studied a bit, how to write a simple query using DAX. And the reason I prefer to do that instead of showing you the query and then pretend that you learn it in a few seconds, I prefer to write it so you follow the full process of writing a query because it's slightly different, again, from SQL and from anything else. Imagine, for example, that we want to retrieve for each category the top three sellers of that category. Make sense? So I have categories, products, and for each category, I want the top three sellers of that category. There's a function which I have not explained, but it's very simple, which is top n. Top n returns the top n sellers, or top n items out of a table, and you need to provide a measure to do the sorting. So you can start writing evaluate top n product, top n three product by, I don't remember, the measure name is Internet Total Sales. Internet Total Sales is a measure that returns the total sales of Internet. And then I normally start running this subquery, and I get as a result the top three products order by total sales. That is fine, but it's far from being what I really want. I don't want to have, I want to have the internet total sales, and I want to have this result for each subcategory. So I can start writing generate for the product category. And again, I don't remember the name, product category name. Product category name. The first parameter need to be a table, so we use values here. And for each one, for each category, we get the top three sellers. If you run this query, oh, the name here is product category. Okay. I really love the fact that in any time they build a new demo, they change the names of columns and tables. Okay. And you see that the result is not really what we expected, because we get for bikes one product, for components the same product, for clothing the same product. So we have the same product repeated for all the categories. What we are missing here is that generate is an iterator, so it creates a row context. What we need to do is take this row context and transform it into a filter context by using calculate table. Okay. And at this point, if you run it again, you will have components with some products, a lot of them, by the way, then blank categories, then only for bikes, clothing, and accessories, you see the good results. The problem, we have components with a lot of blank rows, is that there are a lot of components which have no sales at all. So if you take the top three, you will get you get all of them, because all of them ties to zero sales. So what you should do is further filter the products where internet total sales greater than zero. If you do the filter here, the final result hopefully will be bikes, clothing, accessories. So for each product, for each category, we have only three products, and these three products are the ones we are interested in grabbing. Finally, you can reduce the number of columns by using a summarize out of it. And maybe you are interested only in getting the category name and then from DIM product, from product hopefully it will be product name, okay. And now you have for each product, for each category, you have the category, you have the product, and if you want to have also the sales, you can add internet total sales to the final result set. Internet total sales. Okay, and so now you have category, product, and total sales all in a single query. The reason I prefer, I always like to show the full writing of the query is because it helps you understanding how to write a query in DAX, which is totally different from SQL. In SQL, you start from the beginning and you go to the end in a very linear way. In MDX, you start from wherever you want, and then you end somewhat in writing a query after copying and pasting from the web, and then you get some kind of result. In DAX, you start from the inner part, and then you extend, and then you change it. And so it's not a linear process. It's much more complex, and your brain needs to follow a different way of thinking. Of course, you could write this query in many different ways. On the slides, there is another one, but every time I write it, I change slightly the way it is. Make sense? Move your head, say yes, so I get some feedback. Cool. So let's look very, very quickly at the slides to do a recap of everything. You have seen evaluate. You can use evaluate with filter. Filter is a table function, so you can put as many filters as you want. Then you can use evaluate with calculate table. Calculate table does the same thing as calculate, but returns a table instead of returning a single row. And then you have seen add columns. Add columns shows the column name. Add columns requires a table as the first parameter and then requires a column name and an expression. It returns the full table plus that column and the expression. And it is an iterator, so the calculation is carried on in a row context. And then there is summarize. Summarize is not an iterator, so it scans a table, performs an automatic group by. It requires the source table, that is the table to be scanned, the group by column and the new column, the group by column and the new column added. So the group by groups internet sales by internet order data, and sales amount is computed in a filter context that shows only sales amount. You can use the rollup. Rollup is useful to get automatic subtotals out of the query. It's very expensive. We are going to see that in a few seconds, but it computes subtotals in a very simple way. Then we have cross-join, which, as you might imagine, does simply the cross-join of two columns. Products multiplied by sides creates the Cartesian product, and then inside that columns, count rows, the related table product. Generate iterates a table, computes a table expression, and then merges together using an outer apply operator the two resulting tables. And this query, I just show it here for the recording, even if we have written it in a slightly different way, is an example to start shaping your brain so that it reads correctly DAX queries. We start with top n three values of product name, then we add sales internet, we add the internet total sales, and then calculate table is needed because generate is an iterator, so for each product category it creates a row context. In that row context, calculate table forces it to be a filter context, applies the filter to the data model, and then computes everything. Computes only the top three values for that specific category. If you are missing that calculate table, it will create the cross join of categories multiplied by the top three sellers for over all time. Okay? I do not pretend, of course, that you learn how to write DAX queries in half an hour. My goal was mainly of showing you that DAX can be used as a query language and to make you understand or start to understand what the result of a query will be. The main topic now will be that of optimizing the DAX language, so running queries and understanding how to optimize DAX. In order to optimize DAX, you need to understand what a query plan is, how to grab a query plan, and understand how the engine behaves. The engine is done by two different engines, storage engine and formula engine. The two work together, and you need to understand how they work and how to understand what is happening. So, the first thing that I want to show you is how to use the profiler to grab information about a query that you run. And again, we need to look at the slides. We will use a very simple query. This query uses the row function. Row is useful to get a single row out of a model and computes internet sales amount. So the total sales of the total sales. Before running the query, we simply open SQL Server Profiler and we connect to analysis services. So we connect to analysis services. And this is the set of events that you need to grab in order to understand something about a DAX query plan. The events are the query end. There is always query start, query begin, and query end. Query begin is not so useful. Query end, it's much more useful because it contains the execution time of the query. And then you need DAX query plan and Vertipack storage engine query end. We will see better what they are and how they are needed. You start running the trace, and then you execute the query. The result is a large number, which is not interesting. What we want to understand is what happened here. There are a lot of events, even for a simple query. We have the DAX query plan. The DAX query plan comes in two forms. There is the logical query plan and the physical query plan. The logical query plan is very nice and nearly useless. Unless your query is really, really complex, you will not spend time looking at the logical query plan, because the logical query plan is basically the execution tree of the query as it was understood by the engine. What is much more interesting is this. This is the DAX physical query plan. The physical query plan is what really happened inside the engine. And it is a set of operators. Each operator is shown as a string. Or add columns, for example, is an operator that has two parameters. One is a table containing a single row, and the other one is a spool. Spool takes the result from aggregation spool that takes the result from this Vertipack result. There is no time to describe in detail all these operators and how they work. There are a few white papers that we are publishing and some are already published where we go into much more detail. This is just to give you an idea of what you need to understand. The DAX query plan shows what is executed by the formula engine. Formula engine is the engine that computes your expression. Formula engine has a set of operators. Each operator executes, reads data from tables, and does its operation. The tables that formula engine uses in order to compute values, so the table that it scans or that it computes values over, are always coming from another engine, which is the storage engine. Storage engine is responsible of scanning the in-memory column store, the Vertipack column store, and returning results. So in this example, what happened is that, first of all, the Vertipack engine, so the storage engine, executed this query, which looks similar to SQL. It is not SQL. I think they call it XSQL, which is the select and query executed by storage engine, so by the low-level engine, that computed sum of internet sales amount from the internet sales. So storage engine basically computed the sum. Storage engine is able to scan tables, is able to do some mathematical operation, to follow joins, and nothing else. It's a very simple engine, incredibly fast, but very, very simple. The result of a Vertipack query is stored in a Vertipack result. So in a data structure, which is a Vertipack result or a data cache, so storage engine computed the value, stored it in a place, and then formula engine scanned that result to compute further values. In a simple example like this one, storage engine did everything. So it was able to run to compute the value, store it in the cache, and then all what the formula engine had to do was simply to take the Vertipack result, take it from the cache, look up the column that contains the result. Look up takes a column out of a result and add it to the resulting table that contains a single row. So the final result is a very simple structure containing a single row with a column and the final result. In such a simple query, of course, there is not much to learn. The other information which is useful is duration and CPU time. Duration is the time that was needed to execute the query, expressed in milliseconds. CPU time is the amount of CPU power, CPU time used to answer the query. The two numbers are different because you normally have many cores in your system. So you can use 5 seconds of CPU time with a duration of only 1 second because 5 CPU were used in parallel. So it's absolutely normal that duration is smaller than CPU time if you're using storage engine. Let's take a look at another simple query. This query runs a summarize over internet sales, group data by calendar year, and returns the result, which is the sum of internet sales amount. So it will return sales grouped by year. Before running it, let's clear this result, run the query, you get the result, year and sales of that year. And this is the query plan which has been executed. You see that we have a first vertebra query that computes the calendar, takes the date, calendar year, and the sum of sales amount from internet sales, left outer join, dim date. So this query returns year, sum of sales, scanning the internet sales table and grouping by the year. And this is the first vertipack result computed by Summarize. And it is indeed the final result. So it already contains everything. But Summarize cannot simply use this result because this result will return only existing combinations. It might be the case that there are non-existing combinations that need to be returned. So it does another operation, which is this query, select the calendar year from internet sales left outer join date. So it scans internet sales twice, once to grab the year and the total sales, the second time to grab the year. Okay? Once it has a table with the year, a table with year and sales, it has two tables computed by storage engine, stored in a cache, and then Formula Engine will perform the final join of the two tables together, which, of course, for a table that contains a few rows, takes 16 milliseconds, 7 milliseconds of duration and 16 milliseconds of time. But it is important to understand that by looking at the query plan, you learn that whenever you use Summarize, you have many scans of the table. One scan for each of the columns you put in the group by, and one scan for each of the measure that you want to compute. So, for example, if you run this query that scans internet sales and group by year and color, and produces the result, which is sum of sales amount, you will have more scans. In fact, you can see here that we have one scan that computes the year, the color, and the sum of sales amount. So this is already the final result. But then we have another scan that computes the year, the color, with nothing else, which is needed only to compute the axis, so the axis of projection. And finally, we have the logical query plan that merges the two. With AdventureWorks, of course, this is not a problem because you have a few thousand rows. But if you have a multi-billion rows table, then scanning the whole table only to grab the axis seems a waste of time. And things might be worse if you use the rollup operator. Rollup will return the subtotals too. So if you add subtotals and execute the query, the result contains the subtotals, but when you look at the query plan, you see that it's much larger. I have cache match, so the time is not important, but anyway, in AdventureWorks, time is never important. What is important is understanding the shape of the query. The shape takes first the year, the color, and the sum of sales amount. So we have year, color, and sum of sales amount. Then we have another query that takes the year, the color, and nothing else, which is needed to compute the axis. Then we have a column that computes a query that computes year and sales amount, and we have another query that grabs only the year. Finally, we have another query that computes the grand total for the sales amount, and another query that computes nothing at all, because it's the last kind of axis. But you have seen that simply adding rollup increased, it highly increased the number of scans of the fact table. Again, with AdventureWorks, this is not a problem at all. With larger data models, this might be more than a problem. If you compute the same kind of result by using add columns, it is typically known, I mean, if you go on the web, you will normally see blog posts that say they show a query using summarize, then they show you the same query using add columns, and that column is typically faster than summarize. But the real question is, why is it faster than summarize? The reason, if you start understanding the query plans, then it's much easier to understand why it is faster. It is faster because add columns need to scan the fact table once for all the, it needs to compute to scan once for measure and once to compute the axis. Add columns is slightly smarter because add columns does not need to scan the fact table to grab the axis. It can scan the dimension. If you want to get if you want to get sales grouped by year, you spend some time computing the sales by year, but then you need the values of the years. And there is no point in scanning the fact table to grab the years. You can scan dim date, which is way smaller, and grab the years from there. But this is not what summarize does. This is what add column does. If you clear again and run this query that does a cross join of calendar year color and then computes the sales amount, you see that I have one query that computes date, product, and sales amount. So I have calendar year, color, and sales amount from internet sales, the fact table. And here I already compute the final result. But then I need to compute the axis and have the select of color. This time, this is no longer coming from the fact table. It's coming from the dim product table. And as you might imagine, scanning dim product is much faster than scanning the fact table. If you have 10 billion rows in the fact table and 1,000 rows in dim product, of course you can expect that query, that scanning dim product, to be much faster. And then I have the computing of the calendar year from dim date. So using add columns, you basically reduce the number of scans of the fact table to only the needed ones. And that's the reason why you typically have queries using add columns which are way faster than the same query using summarize. So a good practice is always to use add columns and never to use summarize. But it is important to have an idea of how much you will be able to improve your query. If your fact table is very large, and it takes a lot of time to compute the measure, don't expect that using add columns instead of summarize will really give a boost in performance. You will only gain some small values, which is the time needed to compute the axis scanning the fact table instead of scanning the dimension. Okay. As you have seen, you probably noticed that there are a lot of Vertipack cache exact match here. So the Vertipack engine uses the cache. If the same Vertipack query is executed more than once, then from the second execution, it will hit the cache. Now, let's go from here. Yes, to the slides, so we recap briefly. What we have seen are the elements of the Dex query profile. We have seen storage engine queries. So whenever you run a query, you have two engines, Vertipack and Formula Engine. Vertipack and storage engine is the same thing. So I normally call it storage engine, but calling it Vertipack is absolutely fine. Vertipax scans the column storage, stores result in temporary tables, and then Formula Engine uses these temporary tables to compute further values. If you have a very complex query, you will have a lot of Vertipax queries and some code executed by the DAX, by the Formula Engine. One thing which is very, very important is that Vertipax is amazingly fast. It's multi-threaded and it's very fast. Formula Engine is single-threaded. So all the work which is done by Formula Engine is slower than what is done by Storage Engine. If your query hits Storage Engine, then it is a fast query. If your query hits only Formula Engine, then it is much slower because Formula Engine is single-threaded. Formula Engine is able to evaluate complex expressions. So Formula Engine is much more powerful than Storage Engine. Storage Engine, as I told you, is able to compute simple mathematics, plus, minus, division, and multiplication. It's able to scan table, to perform group bys, and to follow relationship. This is all what Storage Engine is able to do. Anything else requires the intervention of a Formula Engine. So if your query is a very simple one, it will be resolved by pure Storage Engine. If it is a slightly more complex one, then you are required to use Formula Engine. I normally imagine Formula Engine and Storage Engine as two brothers that work together. And I imagine Formula Engine as the smart brother. And then it has a brother, Storage Engine, which is not as smart, but damn fast. So the idea of optimizing DAX is, what I normally say is, trust the Rain Man. If you are able to write code which is executed only by Storage Engine, then your code will be incredibly fast. Otherwise, it will be slow. One thing that you probably didn't notice, but I'm here to explain it, is that the exact cache match that you so before in the profiler were always for Vertipax queries. In fact, the only cache which exists in DAX is the cache of Vertipax queries. To show you the effect of using Storage Engine against Formula Engine and the cache usage, I'm going to use an example which is a very common one, events in progress. Events in progress is a pattern that happens in many different scenarios. Whenever you have an event that has a duration and you are interested in understanding how many events are in progress in a specific point in time. Think, for example, at orders. An order has a start date, an end date, or if you prefer, an order date and the ship date. During the time between when the order was placed and when the order was shipped, it was handled by the office that handles orders. And you want to understand how many orders the office was working on a specific moment in time. The same pattern happens for car insurances, for example, or for customers also. You have a customer, and the customer starts and ends because I have it for the first time and then it will go away at some point. In that period, he is an active customer and I want to count how many active customers I have at a specific point in time or how many insurances. And an easy way to compute it is by using the expression you see there. I iterate over the dates. For each date, I add a column which is called open orders, which counts the number of rows in the fact table where the order date is greater than the given date and the ship date is less than the given date, so the order was already placed at that point in time and the order was not yet shipped. Okay? So for any given date, it will compute how many orders are active in that point in time. The query is somewhat simple, and it's the kind of queries that you learn to write after you start using DAX. Let me clear the cache so we don't have cache hits. We will see more than one version of the same query. And the reason is that I want to show you the effect of following query plans and trying to optimize and write queries in the best way. This is the first example that you can write for events in progress. It's the same query you saw a few seconds ago. If you execute it, you run it, and you see that time is running, already 5 seconds. It's useful at this point to open Task Manager, look at the performance, look at the CPU chart, and you see that the computer is nearly sleeping. It's not doing anything. It's using only 1 out of 6 or 8 cores, I never remember, that I have on my machine. Whenever you see this behavior, that means Formula Engine is running. Formula Engine, remember, is single-threaded. And so no matter how many cores you have, it will always run on a single core. At the end, it was able to finish, and it took 23 seconds to compute orders in progress. The result, of course, shows that for each date I have, you see, a different numbers of orders that were processed during that point in time. This query is obviously not a very good query. Worse, if you run it again, you see a very bad effect. It is still incredibly slow. So it will still take 20 seconds or nearly 20 seconds to be executed. Why that? Because storage engine is cached, formula engine is not cached. So since it is formula engine which is working right now, you execute this query many times, you always pay the full price of running it. Make sense? It's not a good nice. It's not good, but I mean, it's the way it works. So what is clearly wrong with this query? Just guess. Sorry, the filter? What's wrong with that filter? Louder, I'm older. Yes, the microphone is a good idea. I really don't hear you. That's
if you move the open orders bit, can you move that?
If you move the filter outer, the problem, I need to answer just because I don't have much time. The problem is that you always need to remember, Tabular is a columnar database. Columnar database means it works perfectly with a column. It never works really, really well with a full table. If you simply rewrite this, in this expression, I'm using in a filter order date, ship date, two columns of the same table, which is not the optimal way for DAX. You can simply rewrite the query after clearing the cache, to be fair, in this way. This is the very same query, but I have one filter on order date and one filter on ship date. Was this your idea? No. So it makes sense to come here and look at the result. If you only move, split the filter, instead of working on the table, you work at the column level. When you run the query, instead of taking 22 seconds, now it runs in 1 second. And it's useful to look at numbers here. You see 21 seconds and 1 second for 20. This was the last execution, and this is the current execution. So you saved, you are 50 times faster just because you rewrite the query in order, so that it accesses one column at a time. The engine is optimized to work on one column at a time. It's not designed to work with many columns. Another important information that you need to look at is the execution time of the query end. You see that there are two times here, and then there are times in the middle. Each vertical query takes some time to execute. Typically, it's very fast. It's a matter of milliseconds, but it takes some time. And then the final step is Formula Engine that aggregates all the numbers that are stored in the cache and pre-computed by Storage Engine. This time, the Formula Engine time, is shown in the query end event as the duration of the query end. So what we learn here is that the first query used 21 seconds of formula engine time and a negligible time of storage engine. The second query used some time of storage engine, but still one full second of formula engine. So if, again, we execute this query once more without clearing the cache, you see that the execution time moved from 980 milliseconds to 913. It's nearly the same. It's not changing much. You will always pay 1 second whenever you execute this query to grab the final result. Let's clear the cache and let's see a different formulation of the query. This query, to give you a history, I wrote a lot of time ago this query, and then I wrote this other query showing that it was much faster. And I was a happy man at that point because I moved from 20 seconds to 10 seconds. And then Chris Webb, after some study, created this other query, which follows a completely different path, uses count rows of a filter, and uses the dates between, and running this query, which has a different formulation, it moved from 1 second to 141 milliseconds, so 10 times faster than mine. What he did, the genius idea, was that of using dates between and changing the way the query was running. So we started with 20 seconds, then moved to 1 second, and then Chris Webb was able to move from 1 second to 150 milliseconds. Now, I mean, it happens. If somebody is able to find a query which is faster than yours, you shouldn't take it personal. There's nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely normal in your everyday work. But as you might imagine, I took it personal, and I said, okay, that's unbelievable. How can your query be so faster than mine? And I decided to spend some time looking at the query plan and understanding it. Just to give you an idea, I don't want to scare anybody, but I want to show, to see what you need to do if you want to optimize DAX. Sorry. This is the query plan of the query. And unfortunately, if you need to understand it, what you need to do is take the query plan. Sorry, but my mouse, as I already said, hates me today and does click whenever he wants. What you need to do is take this text, copy in Notepad++, and then start cutting rows, cleaning it up, looking at it, understand the shape of the query plan, try to understand what formula engine does with the storage engine queries which were executed before, understand all the flow, and finally get a picture of what DAX does to solve your query. It's not easy. It's a very time-consuming operation. So it's much more expensive than you might imagine. But this is what I decided to do. So I rewrote the query in a slightly different way. And what I did was following the query plan and rewrite the query to make it easier for the optimizer to do exactly what I wanted to do. So I understood why Chris' query was faster than mine. It was following a completely different query plan. And so I understood that the optimizer was taking a different path than what the query was expressing. And so I rewrote the query so that it was following, it was easier for the optimizer to run. And the final version we have goes from 141 to 75 milliseconds. What is important here is you cannot always move from 20 seconds to 75 milliseconds. This is probably a bit extreme. But optimizing DAX means looking at the query plan, understanding it, and it takes a lot of time. Understand how to optimize it, and finally, rewrite the queries in the correct way. In the next slide, I have summarized the results. The first query you normally write takes 20 seconds, and you feel that something is wrong with it, because 20 seconds to compute open orders on AdventureWorks is definitely too long. Then you can rewrite the query once you are a seasoned DAX coder and you know that you always need to work at the column level. You rewrite the query and you stop, you go to 1 second. If you read the web, read the blog post, and follow the good blog post, you can move that query to 167 milliseconds. The problem is that to move from here to there, it took me 4 days of work. So only to optimize a single query, it took me a few days before I was able to rewrite the query in the correct way. So the real question is it really worth doing it? And the answer is no. In most of the cases, it's not worth doing it because 1 second is already good execution time. 150 milliseconds is absolutely fine. But if you are running a query that runs in a very large environment with thousands of users running the query again and again a lot of times, then at that point, spending those 4 days is definitely good because you are seeking for top-level optimizations, which can be reached, but at a very high price. Okay? Remember, DAX caches Vertipack storage engine queries only. Everything else is not cached. So if you don't rely on Vertipack, then your cache usage will not be very good. The last thing that I want to show you is what callback data IDs are. These are not the evil, but it's something you need to understand. Imagine that you have... Don't imagine anything. As I told you, Vertipack is able to do very simple mathematics and scan tables, nothing else. Sometimes Vertipack needs to do complex calculations but don't know how to do them. So it's Rainman that is in trouble because it's computing something and he's in trouble because he doesn't know how to compute it. During the scanning of a table, he needs to do a calculation. So again, I need to move to the demo. Imagine that we have a query like this one. If we have a query like this one, let me zoom a bit. This is an iteration over internet sales, and for each row of internet sales, we ask if sales amount is greater than 10, then do the sum, otherwise avoid it. Make sense? It's not a smart query, it's just an example of a complex condition that you compute during iteration. Now that you know a bit better how DAX works, you can imagine that there are not many ways to compute this expression. Either Formula Engine asks Storage Engine to compute the full internet sales table, store it in a cache, and then Formula Engine iterates over the table and computes the if condition, because if is too complex for Storage Engine. Storage Engine doesn't know how to compute if. But that operation will be very memory intense because the full table needs to be returned by Storage Engine. Or another way that Vertipack can use is Storage Engine scans the table and row by row says, I need to compute a value, but I don't know how to do that. So I ask Formula Engine to compute the value, and then I aggregate it later. So during the scanning of the table, I continuously call Formula Engine to compute those values. And this is, let me clear, what a callback data ID is. So if you run this query, you see that the Vertipack scan, we have one Vertipack scan, and this Vertipack scan selects the sum of callback data ID, and then there is the expression, the inner expression is here inside. So this is storage engine that executes the sum and scans the table. During the scan, it calls formula engine for each row in order to compute the correct value. So callback data ID are a joint venture between formula engine and storage engine. They work together in order to compute the values. Now, callback data ID are not wrong. The problem of callback data IDs is that typically the biggest problem with callback data ID is that of cache. Since it involves a formula engine, whenever you have callback data ID, you have no cache. 10 seconds, I still have 10 seconds, which are enough, even if it's unbelievable, because you can rewrite the same query. Instead of putting the if here, you can simply rewrite the query as calculate sum of internet sales amount, and then you apply the condition before. If you run, let's clear the cache. If you run this query again, this query where the condition is put outside of sum, you run it, and you see that in the result, you have select sum of internet sales amount from internet sales, and there is no longer any callback data ID. So from the cache point of view, using calculate and putting a filter outside of the expression you are computing results in much better performance. The idea, that is, I guess, the last slides, in order to optimize DAX query, what you need to do is open the profiler, spot the expensive operation, understand what is executed by storage engine, what is executed by formula engine, and try to write the query in such a way that you mainly use storage engine and you avoid using formula engine. Try to push all the calculations to storage engine. When you succeed in doing it, the speed will be incredibly fast. If you don't do it, then you will have cache problems. You will have a lot of issues with performance. And one important thing, I didn't have time to do the whole demo to show you how to break the rules, but the idea of Zax is never follow the rules. If you read my blog post, I tell you, do this and do that. You say, okay, that's a good idea, but I decide to break the rules and change the query, because with DAX, a lot of times you will see that breaking the rules really pays. It's worth doing it. It's worth trying different formulation, different ways of writing the queries. If you are interested, there is a session coming from Marco that shows up how to improve Power Pivot data models for Power BI, and there are a few more sessions you might be interested. Unfortunately, you will not find me later at the Microsoft booth because I need to leave today. But if you have any kind of question, I'll be happy to stay here for a while and answer any kind of question you might have. I guess this is the last slide. Remember to evaluate, remember the evaluation forms, you will win something maybe. And that's all for DAX as a query language. If you have any question, I guess I have time to stay here, but I need just to leave the space for the next speaker. So thanks for attending, and just stop me if you have any kind of